Welcome to Write Angels and Polo Bears, a podcast about editing words in all sorts of contexts. I'm Adrienne Montgomery, Sci Editor. On this episode, I expand on my column at copyediting.com about spelling the words practice in Canada. You have spelled practice inconsistently. It's a comment I see from at least one technical reviewer on every textbook I edit. It's not inconsistent. In Canada, we typically use practice with a C as a noun and practice with an S as a verb. Both the Gage and Canox agree. That's the Gage Canadian Dictionary and the Canadian Oxford Dictionary. De mon avis, this distinction adds a needless layer of complexity. And it's a distinction I need to check every time. I have memorized the difference between affect and effect. I'm primarily a science editor. It comes up a lot. But for practice, C versus S, I need a sticky note on my monitor. So here I am with a fresh client. They've got no house style. So I wonder if I can take this opportunity to simplify. I ask my colleagues online, will I be excommunicated for making this call? Release the hounds! It turns out the Canadian editors do have strong feelings about spelling that sets us apart from our US counterparts. Having had to learn these distinctions, I still think that they are worth keeping. As others have said, once you allow one to slide, where do you stop? License or license, traveled or traveled? It's a slippery slope. Easier to pick one dictionary and make do, as Mum would have said. That's one editor I won't name. We suggest staff use the first option given in Canox, said one managing editor. Disguised her voice there. Have you looked at the dictionary? Here's what I see. Practice, noun and verb. That's practice with a C. Then a dot, then N. And in practice, also practice with an S. Example one, the actual doing of something. Wait a minute, practice, noun, the actual doing. Okay, second one, practice, S. Verb and noun, bullet, verb, brackets, also practice with a C. Example one, transitive, to perform habitually. So what exactly is the first option? Is it the part of speech as listed in order? Is it the first example? There's this part at the front of the dictionary called How to Use This Dictionary. Did you know that? I never read it. So I took a look. The Canadian Oxford Dictionary, CanOx as I like to call it, doesn't seem to explain the parts of speech and why they are given in any particular order. But my fellow editors have let it dictate how they use the language anyway. The front does say that head words are listed in alphabetical order. What? All this time I've been smugly saying we use the first option, when all it meant was it was in alphabetical order? Now, someone pointed out that that might mean that the entries are in alpha order. I don't know. I need to read it again. I'm still confused. I don't think the two spellings are inconsistent, said a very authoritative editor. They are two different words. Oh, she does sound a bit regal in my head. Spelling the verb with an S makes a distinction clearer and helps the reader parse the sentence. Parse the sentence? Americans can figure out the meaning from context. And really, if the reader can't, the sentence needs a little more work than sorting out the CS issue. Switching to a single spelling of practice was part of Noah Webster's mission to reform spelling. Yep, there was a mission. He's an American who set out to make American English distinct. He believed that English spelling rules were unnecessarily complex. He wanted to make it simpler, more phonetic too. Man after my own heart, but a bit of a lost cause, given the variety of pronunciations across the continent. But some of his suggestions stuck, like dropping the U from color and neighbor. Was it him who suggested spelling night N-I-T-E? You can see his work today as a dictionary. It goes by the name of Merriam-Webster. Many of his spellings are now hallmarks of American English. Where did all those ridiculous spellings come from? Linguists say that some came from the roots of words in other languages. Willing to accept that. There's this argument that printers are to blame. They each had a preferred spelling and they developed a house style. Typesetters, those devilish souls, they were paid by the line, legend has it. So they were fond of making words longer. I don't know, it's a rumor, but it doesn't sound unlikely. Let's get back to the state of language today. My superior little friends who say they just follow the current Canox, the last one was published in 2004. That's longer ago than you think. In 2008, the publisher shut down the Canadian Dictionary Division. The Canox's aim was to be a description of Canadian English in everyday life. That's a quote from the opening pages. Catherine Barber is the word lady who was in charge of Canox. On her blog, she says, "Language changes, and prescriptive pronouncements rarely succeed in stopping it." Well, no one has updated the record of current English usage in a decade. I wonder what the practice is now. "I'd go with practice," said my friend. That's one little distinction that I know about, but I don't care about. Well, thank you, Joanna. Shall we? I hope you'll leave your comments on the site or tweet me at SciEditor. That's SCI as in science, editor. To find links to the things I mentioned in this podcast, check the show notes at dameditors.ca. That is dameditors.ca. The next episode, I'll talk about something even more controversial. Hey, did you know Noah Webster self-published that first dictionary? It sold 2,500 copies. He had to mortgage his home to develop the second edition, and his life from then on was plagued with debt. Thanks for listening.